Hand for Pastor Dave Parr. Woohoo!
Good recovery. Well, you're not sitting so close together for no reason today. So will you stand with me? Oh, I woke a few of you up. That's good. I believe God is bringing us closer as a body, as a church. And just before I bring the message this morning, I want you to turn to the person that's on your right or left. One person, please. Can't be your husband, it can't be your friend, your neighbor. And I want you to ask them, what do you need prayer for? Now, once you've heard their prayer request, I want you now to take them by the right hand and lift that prayer to the Lord right now. Right now. Lift it up. All across this room. And now, Lord, we just raise our hands in thanksgiving because of you hearing our request. And you said, if any two of us agree as touching our petition before you, we can have what we desire. Anybody believe that? Well, some of you do. Lord, we thank you for the victory today. We thank you, Lord, for the confirmation, for the breakthrough. We're pushing back darkness on our behalf for breakthrough and answers to prayer today in the precious name of Jesus. And all the people said, God bless you as you're seated. If you're still praying, you can talk to that person after the service and continue therewith. Amen. So good to rub shoulders and be close. In proximity, it's always been my prayer since I've come here to erase these side borders until every seat is filled. Now, if you want to see the curtains come down, fill the seats. Oh, a few of you are laughing. But I'm serious. I'm serious. I see empty chairs here. What does God see? Hearts that need Jesus. People that are in darkness and lost. And he sees potential in you and me. As Pastor Matt has already declared, the heavenlies have been, had a barrage of people coming and saying, God, break through in our nation. And God's saying, well, I was just waiting for you to say. That breakthrough is now commissioned. The commissioning comes to us. Come on. Either you say amen or oh me. You know, because all of us are sometimes timid. And the Apostle Paul had to speak to Timothy about his timidity. We have a wonderful evangelist as a pastor. I'm still waiting for some amens out there, but you're a little bit slow on this morning. We'll have to speed things up, okay? And what happened is Paul spoke to Timothy and he said, do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. I'm married to one, so I'm really excited about having that that help and that support come across. So, yeah, the Lord Jesus is going to help us and commission us and encourage us in that walk. Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter 1, 22. And the Word of God says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Wow. It says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. How do you purify your soul? You obey the truth. The Scripture is encouraging us that we do that through the Spirit in sincere love. That terminology of sincerity means that there's no hypocrisy. God's calling this church to let love become more fervent. In these last days that are upon us, the Bible says that the love of many will grow cold. And so the admonition of the Spirit to us is our love needs to get hotter. We've got a few Latins in the church. They're always... They're known for their hot love and that strength of security. But, you know, it should be a part of all of us. Come on, Ozzy, Ozzy, Ozzy. That's right, we got some Pentecostals up in the front row. But, you know, we have to let our love increase. That it not go cold, but that it increases by the Spirit of God. The Scripture says in verse 23, having been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. How are we going to keep our love alive? Doing exactly what we've been hearing this morning is pressing into the Word of truth, getting an incorruptible seed planted on good soil. What type of soil do you have in your heart today? What type of soil are you today? Because seed is going forth. What type of soil is your heart today? Are you one that says, I'm going to be 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold, or it's just bouncing off me fold? You see, the Word of God is a seed. It's an incorruptible seed. It will endure forever. It is an eternal seed. It will not return to him void. In other words, when it's planted, it will produce something. Rissa was just sharing a testimony of what the seed in her heart transformed into. Pastor Matt was talking about Phil Pringle and the seed of God that was planted in his heart and what God did to expand it. And I want to encourage you, church, that all of you are soil for the seed, the incorruptible seed of God. Today, as you hear the word, you can either respond on it or you can put it in the bank and say, I'm going to let it go. I pray that you don't just leave it in the bank. Let it get interest. Let it be compounded. Let it come to a place of growth so that you will not be the same person that you are today. I'm so blessed. My wife said to me this morning, she said, God's calling me higher. That's a good confession. But it's a challenge for a husband that sees his wife start growing. You know, and I want to be a prick in your shoe or a stone or something to encourage you to say, don't settle for status quo. Don't settle for what you have experienced to date, because 2018 is not a time to sit back. 2018 is for us to take hold of the sickle and go and get the harvest. Oh, a couple people agree with me. For the scripture says, and I love it here, having trouble here, but because all flesh is as grass and all the glory of man as the flower of grass, the grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Some of you are looking for some investments. Some of you are looking for lifestyle changes. But I want to tell you, the Word of God says there's only one thing that will last for eternity. Just like Pastor Matt said to that guy on the plane, your investments may endure for the moment. Thank you, brother. But there's an eternal value that will never lose out. Verse 25, the latter part of that verse says, now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. God help me to preach it. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Some of you have just recently come to Jesus. You've quoted the sinner's prayer Sunday after Sunday. But I'm here to admonish you that the Word of God says, don't just stay a newborn baby. Don't just stay where you're at. For the word of the Lord says here that as newborn babes desire pure milk of the word, you should grow. Say grow. Oh. I don't know about you. I don't want to grow anymore this way. But I want to grow up this way. And I want people that will come with me. This last Friday in King's Table, we started a Bible study because the motivation of the Spirit of God was saying, come on, it's time to grow people up. It's time to say, don't still be on milk. You got to cut your teeth. The Spirit of God is saying that as that newfound babes, they desire the pure milk of the word that they might grow up. That they, because they've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Anybody ready to stand to their feet and shout that God is gracious to you? I'm standing already. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Grace has been shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit. God bless you as you're seated. That's good. Some of you are getting some exercise and calisthenics in church today. The word goes on in verse 4 saying, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted to God through Jesus Christ. There's a house being built. We may not own this egg factory, but there is a house in the heavenlies being built. You are a spiritual house. You are to be connected. And if you were a bit feeling rebellious this morning, saying, I have to sit next to somebody, get over it. Because God is saying we are stones, living stones, called with a divine purpose to be built up into a spiritual house. I was listening to a prophetic word yesterday by Perry Stone as he was talking about living stones, that they were formed in the fire. The breastplate of the priest that had 12 stones were brought from the living fire. And if you look at Satan, when he was called as that angelic one, is saying that he had fire that was formulated over him. And so what happened? Every time he created a level in heaven, God allowed that stone to be placed upon him. And you know what happened? Satan never made it to the 12th stone. He only made it to 9. When he made it to the 9th stone, those stones that are mentioned in Revelation and the breastplate that's on the priest, only 9 of them are mentioned because pride rose in his heart. And he was cast down because of pride. But church, you and I are living stones in the house of God. Are you filled with fire today? Are you on fire by the Spirit of God? Because God wants to equip his stones with the living word that will transform them, and that they might, as we were singing this morning, I was just so blessed by the songs and worship today. It says that we might offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Something's happening in the heavenlies, folks. Something's happening in the heavenlies over Brisbane. We're pushing back the darkness, and we're seeing things happen. A few weeks ago in January, I preached that the best way for Scripture, for us to understand Scripture, is for Scripture to give its own interpretation. How many remember? Well, let's look at it, because Peter's doing that same practice. And he quotes from the Old Testament in verse 6. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's use this sword. It's a powerful tool. And Peter says, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. The Apostle Peter is quoting from Isaiah in this portion, and also from Psalms. And it's a great challenge to go back and see what he's trying to say. He says, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. How many builders do we have here this morning? Without that cornerstone, the building collapses, right, Chris? We don't have a cornerstone. Everything else can be destabilized. The scripture says if we, to us, he is that elect, precious cornerstone. By those who believe on him will by no means be put to shame. There's not many guarantees in this life, is there? But the Word of God declares that if you put your trust in the cornerstone, if you put your trust in Jesus Christ, you'll not be put to shame. You will not lose out. But if you don't put him in your life as the chief cornerstone of your life, he'll become a rock of stumbling or a rock of offense. It's quite proven, isn't it, that people reject. If they reject the cornerstone, they get offended by the message. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they were appointed. We can't make people respond to the Word of God, can we? That's their individual choice. The scripture says here in verse 9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God's turned on the lights. How many thank God for that? Your eyes have been enlightened. You are beginning to realize by the Spirit of God the commissioning that you are a picked out one. That's what a chosen generation talks about. We don't hear a lot about election, but here in this portion, the Apostle Peter's talking about that you are elected. How many can say with me, I'm elected? How do you know you're elected? The word says if you've responded, if you've answered, many are called, but few are chosen. The chosen ones are those who respond to the call. I can put it no easier way than to say, if you want to be an elected one, do you think God is selective? His word goes forth and says, choose today. Choose today. The choice is ours. It's up to us to respond. And then as we respond, the word becomes flesh. It becomes part of us and transforms us. A royal priesthood to our God. A holy nation to proclaim the praises of him. You come to church? That's only part of it. You're to publish God's praise. You are to publish what he's done in your life. You're to publish his praise in the earth and let those around you know. Verse 10 says, who were not a people, but are now the people of God. Hallelujah. The scripture says, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I don't know if that's enough to make you shout, but I thank God for his mercies. I thank God that I have obtained those mercies and that chosen part, not by me, but by his grace and by his love. So what do we do once we're commissioned? Once we have the call, once we have received his mercy? Well, the Apostle Peter goes on to verse 11 and says, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims. Have we heard that before? It's a quotation also in Hebrews 11, verse 13. He says, I beg you to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against your soul, having a conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may be, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. When's the day of visitation, Leslie? It's a good one. Yeah, today's a good day. When Jesus comes back, on that day that they stand before the Lord, they say, my day of visitation was because I saw Annie speaking the truth, and her life spoke louder than any of my disputes with her. You know, the day of visitation is when that person says, today I give my life to Jesus. Today I'm convinced by the Word of God. Today is different than yesterday. Yesterday I was in darkness. Yesterday I didn't know my election. Yesterday I didn't know I was part of the chosen generation. But today I say yes today. I say yes to Jesus. And this is my day of visitation. I want to tell you, the 25th of May, 1962, was my day of visitation. Jesus called me to himself. But that visitation continues because I keep inviting him. Lord, come into my life today. It's not relevant way back there in 62 if it's not relevant today. True? I can't live on laurels of yesterday. I've got to live today with that life of Jesus. We want the world to see a change and a challenge in us. So therefore, verse 13 says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to kings as supreme or to governors or those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God. Anybody have a pen today that will underline that? Because so many times people come to the pastor and say, what's the will of God for my life? Here it is. Did you get it? It's right there. The scripture says, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. God is looking for our obedience. But what if they tell me something wrong to do? I discern that this, you know, my boss is telling me something that I shouldn't do. Well, sometimes the correct thing is to say, no, I won't do it. If you know it's illegal, if you know it's not going to put you in the right place, don't do it. There are things that sometimes we don't want to do that we need to submit ourselves to and say, God, look after what I'm doing. You know my heart. I'm following your word. I want to win these people without a word. I want to show what you've done in my life. You know, sometimes as Christians, we need to press in and say, God, we want to honor the King and submit to every ordinance of men for, it says, for the Lord's sake. God, I'm doing it for your kingdom. I'm doing this so that people will see my life as submitted and not as argumentative, but that my life will silence by doing good. Remember Joseph? Wherever Joseph was, God caused him to prosper. Even when he was put in prison, we find that Joseph was elevated to be the servant of the guards, to take care of the prison. And the Lord wants us to prosper where we're at. Anybody say amen? Do you want to stay where you're at, or do you want to go higher? Well, if you want to go higher, you do the very best that you can with what God has given you. Notice in verse 16 it says, as free. So you have a choice. God gives you freedom, but it says, not using liberty as a cloak for wickedness or vice, but as bond servants of God. So our liberty, God's given us freedom, but he wants us not to use that in a wrong way. He wants us to use it as a bondservant of God. Verse 17, honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. That's our call, church. Our call is to honor all people. I want to tell you this morning, if you've got prejudice in your heart, God wants to heal that. God wants to show you how to deal with that hurt. Because usually prejudice arrives and rises in our hearts because we've been hurt some way. And I want to tell you, today you can be free of that. So if you hear the word of the Lord and you say, well, how can I honor all men or honor all people? I have pain in my heart toward this people group, toward this situation that happened in my life. Come and get free. Come and get free. The scripture says you're free. And the Lord can set you free from that bondage. Notice the scripture says, love the brotherhood. Love your neighbor. If you can't love your neighbor, love your enemy. Love your enemy. Notice the scripture says, fear God. What does fear mean? Means a holy reverence. I think the church sometimes has lost its fear of God. The fear of God has gone out from the people because we're just too palsy-wowsy with God and with Jesus, and he's our buddy, and we call him all types of names. But the Word of God says here that we're to fear him. We're to have a holy reverence toward him, not in trembling, but in a sense that we want to make sure we get it right. Because we will give an account. Amen? We just read through the book of Revelation. We know that there's a day of reckoning. There's a day that the people of God will have to respond. Honor the king. You know, sometimes I hear Christians belittling the government, talking about politicians, talking about what's going on in the world, talking about my country, about my president, making judgments. I want to tell you, I can only pray for you. And I can say, you are right, you have a great right to your opinion, but God's opinion will reign over yours. God's opinion will reign over yours. And I want to challenge you to put your opinion under his. The Bible admonishes us to be slow to speak, slow to wrath, and quick to listen. I believe that's a real call for us as Christians, to not to speak first and then listen later. Sometimes we need to hear people's hearts and what they're declaring. And then God can drop into our spirit what they need. But if we're too quick to speak, if we override them, we don't give them, like Pastor Matt did on the plane last night, give an opportunity for someone to express where they're at, then we're not honoring them. We're not giving them the benefit of saying, you're important to God, and He wants to save your soul. He wants to challenge and bring you into light. Verse 18, servants, employees, would be better for our day and age. Be submissive to your master with all fear, not only to the good ones, good and general and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Sometimes we think, God, did you see? Did you hear what they just said? Did you see how that hurt me? We're not sure sometimes whether God is there, but the Word of God declares that He knows what's going on. He knows what is commendable. Verse 21 says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. My wife said, make sure you give some examples of how this works in your life. So I'm following my wife's example today. How many have a 4-year-old living in your house? There's a few that have just got some preppies going to school. But I want to tell you, it's been a challenge. I'm 62 years old, and I haven't been around 4-year-olds for a while. Even my grandkids in London, you know, I'm not so close to seeing how they're growing up, but they're coming to New Zealand soon. But God has been gracious to me, and He's placed a little boy in my care. And the thing I want to communicate to you, as Jesus said that we should follow in His steps, God has been opening my eyes to see that somebody's following me. And you say, well, how is He following? Well, if you notice, sometimes I have a toothpick in my mouth. Anybody notice that? My little guy, he says, Pa Dave, can I have a toothpick too? Is this yours? People are following us, whether we like it or not. Who are you following? In whose steps are you following? I wanted to take us all the way back to verse 22 of chapter 1 because I wanted to declare to you the only way you can follow in His steps is if you are sincere without hypocrisy, unless you are pressing in, being freed from the things that connect to you, trying to escape worldly lust, changing your mind and your lifestyle to say, God, I can't do this alone. It's too high. It's beyond my reach. Notice the scripture says that to follow in His steps, verse 22, who committed no sin. Is there anybody here that's not committing sin? I'm not there yet. Nor was deceit found in his mouth. There's no such thing as white lies. Some of us need to understand that God's calling us to swear to our hurt. Sometimes we have to say, yeah, I didn't do it right. And that's one of the things that God is showing me with this little four-year-old. I have to say, I didn't do it right. Why? Because I'm trying to teach him to be able to say, I didn't do it right. How many of us try to cover up before God? How many of us are trying to hide and we've only got fig leaves? And God says, that's pretty itchy, isn't it? How about a sacrificial lamb to cover your nakedness? How about understanding it's the blood of Jesus that frees us? How about understanding that you can walk and declare that he is your righteousness? Verse 23, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. That's a hard one. Anybody flick your bic? Upset you? Hurt you? Say all manner of evil against you falsely? It's painful, isn't it? It's hard to stick your other cheek out there when somebody's just giving you a left hook. God is talking to us about getting it right, about saying, Lord Jesus, we need your power to live. He doesn't want you to do it on your own. Anybody say amen? Or oh me? We can try. But God wants us to do it through his strength. The scripture says, when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. I hope I'm stepping on a lot of toes here today, because God wants us not to be stuck. How many want to get unstuck? God wants to empower you and I to walk in his steps, to march to his cadence, to be empowered to live a sinless life by his grace. And verse 24, thank you musicians and singers today, verse 24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Isaiah 53, verse 5 says, by whose stripes you are healed. And 1 Peter quotes that and says, by whose stripes you were healed. Healing is progressive. It's going on, but it's also finished. I like the two verbs. Anybody say amen to that? I like it that it's healing now and healing that it's finished. So whatever you're suffering, whatever you're bearing, whatever you're going through, it's not only that it's progressive, that it's done right now, but Jesus accomplished it back then. He paid for it. We have to step into it. We have to take hold of it and say it's ours. Jesus bore your sins. So why are you carrying them? Did you hear what I said? Jesus bore your sins. So why are you carrying them? The devil comes back with a load of condemnation, accusation, and he tries to dump it on your front door. We can step over it if we know that Jesus has forgiven our sins and taken it as far as the east is from the west. Verse 25, for you were like sheep going astray. Will you stand with me? You were like sheep going astray. You were like sheep going astray. But now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. The Apostle Peter's reminding us, this is what you were, but this is what you are now. We're to follow in his footsteps, church. We've got to realize we can't do it ourselves. We've got to move into his work that he's finished for us. We've got to reckon things dead. When Jesus was on the earth, he said a parable about a man that saw a log in someone's eye. A speck, actually. It was actually a speck that he saw. But the Lord said, but you've got the log in your own eye. Deal with the log first, and then you can see clearly to help your brother. If we deal with things here, God will liberate us and free us to help minister his grace, his love, his freedom, because we will not be binding people by our judgments and prejudices. We'll be saying, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Let's bow our heads this morning. Merciful Lord, we're so thankful that it's following in your steps that we can see transformation. We thank you for grace toward us today. Thank you, Lord, that you have called us out of darkness into your glorious light. Lord, I pray that as a congregation, Lord, love will increase in this place. Lord, let the love of the brotherhood increase. Lord, help us to honor all people. Lord, today if there's areas that need healing in that realm, Lord, we pray that the people will set it right. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercies toward us. Thank you that they're new every day. Great is your faithfulness. We bless and honor you, Jesus, King of Saints. With your head still bowed this morning, just to give everyone here in the place of solitude. Perhaps the Spirit of God has been challenging your heart. You've been saying, I desire to walk in Jesus' footsteps, but I haven't known how to get it. it's time for some of us in this congregation to move from milk to meat and not be satisfied with just the milk of the word. It's time to grow up, because God is going to bring an increase in this place, and we need strong Christians. We need people that are built up in their holy faith, ready to minister grace to people. You're hearing the Spirit of God and the Spirit of call today in your heart. I want to challenge you. Come to the altar. The altar is going to be open in a minute. But just before we do that, if you've never accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord, today you can invite Him into your life. I'm going to pray right now for those. If you want to receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord, will you raise your hand? God bless you. I see those hands. I'm going to invite you. Will you come forward? If you've raised your hand, anyone else? A couple of people have responded today and said they want life. They want salvation in Jesus. Anyone else? Could I ask a couple of the prayer team just to come and stand with these two precious saints? Let's pray this prayer together as a congregation. Just remember how you prayed that prayer yourself for the first time. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you went to the cross for our salvation. Thank you that you wash us by your precious blood. Today I'm cleansed. Today, Lord, I thank you that I'm free. By the blood of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for your salvation. And I now crown you as Lord of my life. I invite you to come inside my heart and lead me, Lord Jesus, in your ways everlasting. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless these dear ones as they're praying. I'm going to open the altar this morning. If God's challenging your heart and you're saying, I need to make another commitment, Pastor. I need to take a step forward in God. Like I said about my wife this morning, she said, when there's a new level that God is calling us to, He's preparing us to let go of some stuff. And I want to challenge you, church, come on. God is going to break open the wellsprings. There's going to be an influx of people. We know God's Spirit says that before the Lord returns, there's going to be a great harvest. And we're part of that harvest. We're part of that kingdom relationship. If you need prayer this morning and there's something that God is challenging you with, to say, I want to go higher. I want to go deeper. I want to recognize your Spirit. There's people here to agree with you. Pastor Matt, come on up, your brother. I thank God for our pastor, so versatile. Amen? Praise God. He's worn out, now he needs healing. But Pastor Matt's going to be up here with me, and we want to encourage you. If you're saying, I need the power of the Spirit awakened in me. This is not a New Year's resolution. It's a life resolution. It's a revelation. It's a revelation of God that says He wants to take us higher and deeper. So I challenge you by the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus. Be encouraged. We're happy to lift your hands. And I want you, before you leave this room today, can you hug three people and tell them, I'm so happy I'm following the word of God that says, love the brethren. Somebody needs a hug today. Somebody needs you to pray for them. Somebody needs you to say, you're important in my life, in the body of Christ, and I bless you. Will you do that? Make sure you hug somebody and let that be your benediction this morning.